Welcome back. We're here to discuss the Golden Globes, which I did not realize were coming up this quickly. I don't know
Ugh.
how I missed it, but it's Sunday.
They're obscenely early. I don't like this. The Golden Globe should be at the end of January. That's all there is to it.
But it happens every year. Like, January, it's like, ah! There's so
Yeah.
much going on.
Yeah.
Like, you're
I'm
running.
nominating you for best original score for that.
Just consider, like, the perfect gift for award season every year would be Meryl Streep running with her hands up, screaming.
Oh, yay.
They should probably go up the ballot and save Best Pictures for
That's true.
last.
That's true. That's a good sense of drama there. I like
Okay.
that.
So, well, let's start with original score.
Okay.
I think they're going for Birdman. Yeah.
Now that it's been disqualified from the Oscar race, I'm like doubly sure they're going for Birdman.
Do you think they care enough about that kind of thing?
No, but it just seems like that's generally like how it's been going in the music categories lately, is that like Golden Globes will award something that the Oscars just don't nominate at all.
Yeah, they're staking their claim lately with the music categories.
Yeah. As the resident Hans Zimmer apologist on this podcast, I'm rooting for Hans Zimmer, of course, but
I was just gonna say that I think, because I don't remember the scores for The Imitation Game or The Theory of Everything that well at all. Gone Girl was fine, Birdman's fine. So I thought I liked Interstellar a lot in terms of the score. The score I liked.
I might even like all five of the scores. Yeah, I like all those scores pretty much too, but I don't quite understand why that's the Desplat score that people are paying attention to, because I think his work on some other ones is more impressive
Well, I
this
thought
year.
his Grand Budapest Hotel score was so great.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not.
But it's the rule with him that he always gets nominated for the not best score he made that year. Right, since he does like six or seven a year.
I remember watching The Theory of Everything and actually having the active thought that, like, oh, this is going to get a score nomination because the score is very prominent
Yes.
in that movie. Like, it really like makes its presence felt. Listen, all Johansons out there, don't name your kid Johan. Like, that's just. Don't do it.
He's Johann, the son of Johann.
I guess. It's a little redundant,
That's
but.
probably how that
It would be
works.
hilarious if there was also a junior on it.
Johan Johansson the fourth.
Best original
You
song.
guys,
Oh, I'm sorry.
the Big Eyes song is the worst
Right?
thing
It's
you could possibly in the world.
horrendous.
It's
Like, I
horrendous.
remember in that previous podcast when Nathaniel
Told us
told us
the
that the
lyrics.
refrain was your big eyes and your big lies, and I burst out laughing. It's not that I didn't believe him, but it just seemed too crazy to possibly be the case.
Oh
And
no, he
that's
was correct.
exactly what that song is.
Yep.
Oh my God. Yeah,
I
and
was agog, as I often was during that movie, but never more so than when that song would play.
then we have Glory from Selma, Mercy Is from Noah, Patti Smith, Opportunity from Annie, and I still haven't seen Annie, I feel the guilt.
No,
That
it's
song, Opportunity, is horrible.
it is
In a movie full of awful songs, that one is maybe the worst.
horrible. Can Selma please just have this, please? I'm sure they'll give it to Patti Smith or something, but.
Lord.
I was gonna say, it's kind of interesting to me that like Lord and Sia and Lana Del Rey are all vying for a movie award. Like, that's somewhat interesting to me.
Yeah.
It seems like they'll give it to Selma, right? Like, John Legend, like, people love giving awards to John Legend. Like,
It's true.
Okay, so what do we think is gonna win? Oh, we do think Glory or Mercy is, I guess. And
Yeah.
and we all want Glory to win, I guess.
Sure.
Yeah, I like that Hunger Games song, actually. For as
I
much
like
as
it
I go
too.
hot and cold on Lord.
I like the Hunger Games song too.
I haven't heard it.
Yeah.
Best foreign language film: A Force Majeure, Get, Ida, Leviathan, and Tangerines.
I haven't gotten to see Leviathan yet, which opens here in 2 weeks. But of those, I'm a definite Ida voter.
Yeah. Although
Yeah,
I do love I do
sorry.
love Force Majeure. I don't know. I have no idea what the Globes generally go for in their foreign language films, but I mean, it would be fun to see Force Majeure win. But although I want you to win the Oscar.
I wanted to love Force Majeure, and I don't quite know what my problem is. Because I think it's a like I admire it. I sort of feel like that way about Leviathan too. It's just sort of like I get what you're doing, and you're doing a very good job at it. And I couldn't really hook on to either one of those two, so I guess I'm an Ida person as well.
Mm-hmm. Those are the only three I've seen. Force Majeure, Ida,
amazing, I know.
Leviathan. And I feel the same way.
Has anybody else seen Get?
No.
Which I didn't... I couldn't... Sorry to be horrible and, like, gross, but I didn't get it. It's, like, what it's about is really powerful. There's, like, fiction in the movie, but it just seems so awkwardly made. And the audience that I saw it with in the Toronto Film Festival began to laugh at the sheer repetitiveness of the screenplay. Hmm. And it just seemed like one of those trick movies, like those birthday candles that just, we wouldn't finish. It would not be over. And it just kept giving you the same scene over and over again. It's like, please stop doing this.
So you're really rooting for it to get an Oscar nomination.
Well, you know, it's Ronique Alcabetz and you and I both love, but...
Yeah, it would be nice to see her on the red carpet.
And it won the screenplay award here at Chicago. It's won tons of stuff. People love it, but I just couldn't get into it.
One thing interesting that we haven't discussed on the podcast, because we never talked about Leviathan, was I actually talked to the director at AFI.
What?
And he, it was interesting because, you know, a lot of people thought he wasn't going to get the submission because Leviathan's very critical of the government, and they don't usually go for that sort of thing. And he said, what was interesting is him and his producer said that even after they got the nomination, because they've been trying to do these reforms there on their submission process for the Oscar, that now there's people that were angry that they got the submission who want to change the rules back. So it's still totally a controversial thing. But it is a good movie, Leviathan. But I'm slightly in the more admired it than completely loved it. But it's really engaging, I thought.
I'm really excited.
It gives you a lot to think about.
Best animated feature. The Box Trolls, Big Hero 6, The Book of Life, How to Train Your Dragon 2, and The Lego Movie. It's a very big budget blockbuster category.
Yeah, I've seen 4 of the 5, and I really liked all 4 of them. So it's a good year, I feel like, for animated feature.
I haven't
seen The Book of Life.
I could not get into Book of Life. It was so... I couldn't even look at it. It was so manic.
And
from stills, it's so, like, the color's so beautiful, but it's so exhausting to even, like, watch for a minute.
Yeah.
I have this image in my head I love of you, like, looking at the wall during it.
Watching the reflections of it, like, it can...
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I feel like Box Trolls is my favorite here, but I really liked Big Hero 6 a lot. I loved How to Train Your Dragon 2, loved the Lego movie.
My favorite there is Box Trolls, but I get why people love the Lego movie. It is super, super clever.
It is. It's really clever.
Yeah. I think I like the Lego movie fine. I don't know. I feel like very out of this cat. I haven't seen How to Train Your Dragon 2 or The Book of Life, so I'm also a little out of the loop.
I really loved Big Hero 6. That's my easy vote. Huh. I couldn't believe how much I loved it.
It's very lovable. It's an incredibly lovable movie. I feel like that's its, like, chief export is lovability. Yeah, I really liked it. I think if I had any problem with it, it's very predictable.
Yeah.
Like, even as far as, like, movies that are ostensibly kids' movies are. But I think it makes up for it in enough ways that I'm not going to begrudge it, certainly.
I just couldn't believe it was yet another Marvel movie that ended with a giant ship thing hovering over a city and threatening it. That is like my bugaboo at this point. Every one of them ends that way.
It's kind of like Pixar with the, like, madcap races at the end of every movie.
Well, then I have something mean to say about the Box Trolls. This is the mudslinging we're going to engage in.
Yeah, you didn't really quite feel the Box Trolls, did you?
I didn't, actually. I don't actually have anything mean to say except that I just didn't really care for it.
Okay.
That was super mean.
That was super mean.
How dare you, Nick.
Yeah.
I actually heard something interesting about the Box Trolls that I hadn't thought about. I was talking to some animators the other day, and they didn't like it, and I was surprised because I think it's so good.
Yeah.
And they said their objection to it was actually that they said, if it doesn't if it's so perfect that it no longer looks like stop motion, why are you using stop motion?
Hmm.
That, like, stop motion should have some imperfection baked into it because it's a more rough-hewn medium.
And then it has more charm when it feels like people moved these little, you know, figurines around. Or like, he's like, if you can't tell the difference between computer-generated and stop motion, then stop motion's not doing it right. It was interesting.
I'm
going to
see some thumbprints on some people's fucking tummies, or I'm not watching this.
It was an interesting point, I thought.
It is, but it also... I mean, I don't know, and I don't want to... I'm sure they're lovely people, but it does seem slightly sour grapesy that, like... You know, that kind of like, oh, well, you know, this perfection is boring. Like, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It is kind of funny. If Selma's going to be so good that it doesn't even feel like a biopic, you shouldn't make it about a person.
Okay, so... best screenplay... Grand Budapest, Gone Girl, Birdman, Boyhood, The Imitation Game. Well, I think I know where Nick's vote goes, and that goes to The Imitation Game.
Although I also really love the script of Gone Girl, and I really love that they nominated Boyhood, which didn't have a script. So they're acing this category.
Nick, your series of tweets on The Imitation Game screenplay is possibly my favorite thing from 2014.
Well, sometimes it's, you know... I can't do anything.
This is really a kind of a rough category, though, when you look at it, because of these movies, not the only one where I feel like the screenplay is the most prominent asset is The Imitation Game, and I don't like that screenplay. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't think anybody goes into like Grand Budapest Hotel and Birdman and being like, you know what, that was a really scripted movie. Like, that was a really well-scripted movie. Like...
I did feel that way about Grand Budapest Hotel, but I usually feel like I would like to give Wes Anderson an Oscar for the first half of that movie and the first half of Royal Tenenbaums, and we could just like fuse those together. Like, how he's so good at first halves, and then I just start checking my watch during the second hours, and this one especially, like, which is a little bit of a Marvel movie. Like, there wasn't actually a spaceship hovering over the hotel, but it did feel like manic racing. And
yeah,
is Wes Anderson the only credited writer on Budapest, or does he...
Yeah.
Did he do it with Roman Coppola this time?
I don't think so. I think he's getting sole credit, but...
This could be his award to win, maybe. Like, after... I'm starting to feel like this is sort of like a Charlie Kaufman kind of thing, or like even Spike Jonze last year.
The actual credit is Wes Anderson's screenplay, Hugo Guinness, and Wes Anderson's story.
Hmm. So Hugo Guinness is the Roger Avary of this movie?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, whatever. I kind of hope it wins.
Actually, no. Gone Girl's going to win. What am I talking about?
I think the adaptation work in Gone Girl is pretty interesting, actually.
I do, too.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of Gone Girl in general, and I think the way that... I mean, it's a tricky story, and it's got this famous twist that a lot of people know, and the way that kind of works around that and moves the twist up and gets rid of things. I was pretty impressed by it.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, I mean, it goes to show you that you know, screenplay categories, it's a very different thing, adaptation and original, but when they're put together, it's always weird to me. Because they're different, I think they're different skills in some ways.
They are, but I kind of like that we get this one awards show that puts them together, because I do find it somewhat fascinating to see them judged against each other. If not always, but at least this one time.
Mm-hmm. Best director, Wes Anderson, Ava DuVernay, David Fincher, Alejandro Iñárritu. I don't know why he dropped the Gonzales, but he apparently did.
I'll never drop it.
And Richard Linklater. I'm assuming Richard Linklater is going to get this and he'll just have the coronation walk to the Oscar.
Yeah, I feel like that's probably... a safe bet.
But I am curious about how far Selma can take the enthusiasm around it.
It would be cool to see Ava win, just for people to see how charming she is, because she's really great at speaking.
Yeah.
She's got that publicist skill.
Yes.
I have no idea.
She's great, but I have a feeling if she's going to win, it'll be at the Oscars. Like, it'll be the sort of culmination of momentum. I feel like Golden Globes tend to reflect the momentum of the early part of the awards race. I feel like, especially lately.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's even more true of SAG.
Yeah. But yeah, if I were to put money on anybody, it would be on Linkletter. These are interesting nominations, though, I have to say. Like,
I was impressed with them when they came out. I was like, okay.
Yeah, I'm seeing your embedded tweet in your Gold Globes lineup about how excited you are.
Yeah, I don't think the Oscar lineup will be as good. I don't.
Do you expect to drop out for the Oscars?
Yeah.
Fincher, surely.
I think Fincher, yeah.
I think Fincher's got a shot. I don't know. I think Fincher and Wes Anderson have a shot.
I mean, initially, when I first saw this lineup, I thought, oh, Wes Anderson's never going to get nominated. But then the Grand Budapest Hotel shows up everywhere. So
it really does show up everywhere.
So I do think that it would be Fincher would be maybe dropping out for Imitation Game or something crazy like that.
Well, when you get a chance to
write... I have to go.
Sometimes Morton Tilden just demands to be recognized.
Sometimes it's the directors.
Fact the least of.
Supporting actor, my favorite, Robert Duvall, The Judge.
Yay.
Ethan Hawke, Boyhood, Edward Norton, Birdman, Mark Ruffalo, Foxcatcher, and J.K. Simmons, Whiplash.
So I've said this before, but I just don't understand how Boyhood can win everything and be the front runner all season, and the best thing about it never wins anything. Like, how is Ethan Hawke not even in the Ruffalo, Norton, Simmons triumvirate of winner and runners-up at every Critics Award? Like, I don't understand it. He's so wonderful.
I think it's probably the whole thing of, like, oh, he's playing himself.
Yeah.
Which, you know, is not true, but I'm assuming that his sort of relationship with Linklater makes people think of him. Because he even gets that kind of in the before films, where mm-hmm. all the credit goes to Julie Delpy.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. I liked Ethan Hawke in Boyhood. I don't know if I'm as high on him over the other elements of the movie, but I am. I'll be happy if he ends up getting the Oscar nomination, where it certainly seems like it. He will.
Yeah, and for a long time, people just felt like that was never going to happen. And I like that that's suddenly just become an inevitability.
Well, I think it's partially because that category had just nothing this year, which is so weird.
I'll be interested to see a J.K. Simmons award speech, because I'm not sure if I've seen him accept anything yet this season.
He's incredibly funny.
Yes, he is.
I feel like the longtime character actors, they have sort of a club in their bag that not everybody can play. I feel like there's a kind of familiarity with a lot of different people in the room that'll be, I don't know, I feel like it'll be kind of the enthusiasm for him will be very warm, I feel like.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of like Octavia Spencer. Remember how, like...
Oh, yeah, they went crazy when she won.
Yeah.
So we think J.K. Simmons is winning this for sure.
Yes. Oh, I don't even think it's worth talking about. Like,
yeah.
Well, who would we vote for? I mean, Nick would vote for Ethan.
I would vote for Norton.
I would vote for Norton.
I would, too.
Although I...
Because he's not playing himself.
Although I really still love Mark Ruffalo and...
Oh, me too.
Foxcatcher.
Yeah. Ruffalo and Norton are, like, if not my 1-2, then they're at least two of my top three. And Simmons is in my top 8. It's a good category. Robert Duvall notwithstanding, it's a very good category.
And
if they were gonna, if this category was gonna settle on the people that it's settled on, at least it's these guys, and not like other years where it's just like calcified around some really rough contenders.
Mm-hmm. I will say Nick's repeated descriptions of why Ethan Hawke is so wonderful in Boyhood have really turned me around on that performance, because when I saw it again, I was like, oh, yeah. So I think Nick's right about how much work he's actually doing, even though he makes it look effortless in that movie.
He's a good advocate, that Nick.
Yes. You should be on FYC ads, Nick.
Also, Ethan Hawke deserves, like, special Oscar for his tireless promotion of Boyhood. He has been out there forever.
Yeah.
He's a good friend.
Yeah, he's been really good. I hope he's a producer and he gets to share the Best Picture or something.
Supporting actress, another one that's probably not worth talking about.
Yeah.
Patricia Arquette, Boyhood, Jessica Chastain, Most Violent Year, Keira Knightley, Emma Stone, Meryl Streep.
I haven't seen a Most Violent Year yet.
But she's good in a kind of a gaudy way, which is welcome, I think, in a movie that's as austere as A Most Violent Year is.
I think she's amazing in it.
It's easy to see why she stands out.
It's a really big performance, but it's one of my favorite big performances in a long time.
It is, but it's also in a kind of role. The role is I think for me a little too standard to be that impressed by it. But like we've seen this sort of Lady Macbeth, like mobster's wife, fingernail acting kind of thing before. And I'm not to take away from her performance, but I just feel like I think because it's a character I've seen kind of a lot before. I was less maybe blown away by it. And
see, I think she's doing things with it that we haven't seen before. I think her continual suggestions that the woman's bite or bark is much worse than her bite is an interesting way to play it.
That's a good point.
I thought she was great in it.
Arquette's my favorite of this five, for sure.
I think I'm a Keira Knightley voter.
She's really good in that.
She is really good.
That's also another one where the nature of the character holds me back, even though I like the performance a lot.
The fact that the character is just, like, there to support the great man.
Yeah, just ultimately not... I mean, she has a couple, you know, really interesting moments, but ultimately it's all very... it adds up to not very much, character-wise. Yeah.
I finally saw Begin Again, and so my Knightley and Ruffalo affection has never been higher, so give them lots of awards, please.
Oh, I just watched it again yesterday.
It's so good!
I like the fact that, like, as good as Keira Knightley is in Imitation Game, and she is, she's very good, but, like, it's my third favorite performance of hers this year. She had a really good year.
Yeah, I knew my laggy stumping wasn't going to go anywhere, so I gave... I'm okay with that, but Begin Again, I wish it was a Golden Globe nominee.
It's so weird that it isn't. It was so tailor-made for that.
I know. Yeah.
And her dresses. All right, we won't go there.
Best Actor, Comedy or Musical, Ralph Fiennes, Michael Keaton, Bill Murray, Joaquin Phoenix, and Christoph Waltz.
But a weird category.
They often surprise in the comedy or musical categories. So I don't think this is a complete, like, walk for Michael Keaton. I think he probably will win, but I could see Ralph Fiennes winning.
At least they're all actual comedies.
Yeah.
Guys?
Yeah, oh yeah. Maybe it's because it's so ridiculous, but I feel like Big Eyes is structured as a comedy.
Well, his performance is definitely a comedy.
Well, yeah.
What if Bill Murray just wins it? Mm. What if Bill Murray wins, guys?
Oh, Bill Murray won't win. Bill Murray's winning in the TV category. He's going to win for...
Oh, for Olive Kitteridge?
He'll be fine.
He's in Olive Kitteridge?
Yeah, he's in the last installment, which I haven't seen, but I know that he's in it. I only saw the first one.
I haven't seen it either.
I know, Nathaniel, we've had this argument on social media. I didn't hate St. Vincent, and I feel like... Or no, Katie, you were in this argument.
Yeah, I lose.
I didn't hate it.
I just didn't love it. I thought it was okay.
Yeah. No, that's right. Katie is the one who I started that argument with.
I felt very offended on behalf of all single mothers, which I am not. But it felt so insulting to anyone who's trying to raise a child on their own that I just checked out so fast.
That this lout of a man could do it with, like, one hand tied behind his back?
Well, it was just like, how dare you work and have your let your son come home by himself? Like, we're upset about latchkey kids in 2014, as if she had other options.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's
I don't
true.
Know if the movie's endorsing that point of view so much, but anyway, I mean, it's
well,
silly.
It does canonize him.
Literally.
Literally, but also heavily ironically.
Really? I don't know. Like, that whole speech at the end that the kid gives?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's whatever.
Also, like, Crazy Stupid Love is, like, a decently smart movie that then just ends in, like, the stupidest way possible with a kid giving a speech to an assembly.
God, that's a really good comparison.
I think someone else made that comparison. I can't claim that originally.
Dang, that's pretty good.
Anyway.
So when Joaquin Phoenix wins this time, is he going to shout out to Reese in the audience again?
I hope so.
Who do you guys think is going to win? Because I said Fiennes or Keaton.
Oh, it's Keaton.
I think Keaton.
Yeah.
But those might be my two favorites in the Best Actor conversation.
Fiennes
in general.
Keaton.
Keaton and Fiennes, yeah.
Yeah. Best Actress Comedy, Amy Adams, Emily Blunt, Helen Mirren, Julianne Moore, and Kavenshine Wallace.
Yikes, this category.
What?
I just, Kavenshine Wallace in there just brings me great joy.
I keep hearing she's terrible in it.
She's terrible! Yes. Well, no, she's actually not terrible. She's not as there's a lot of worse things in Annie, but
there's good. Some worse things in Annie.
Cameron Diaz being my favorite worst thing in Annie.
Bobby Cannavale, there's nothing worse than Bobby Cannavale in Annie. I'm going to say it right now.
He is really hit and miss.
Woo! Yeah.
As an actor.
Does miss and miss.
What's that speech that Woody Allen gives in Annie Hall about the world divides into two categories, like the terrible and the awful?
Yeah,
Nick, you did see Annie.
I have not seen it. No, I'm just trying to parse this.
I feel like the fact that Helen Mirren is my strong second favorite in this category says a lot, I think, about this category. Or about me, I don't know.
I mean, I think Emily Blunt's got this in the bag.
Yeah.
You don't think Julianne can win, too?
It would be fun if Julianne Moore won, but I think Emily Blunt's got it in the bag, because the Globes are very fond of her.
It'd be even more fun if she won for a movie that hasn't come out.
Yeah. might never.
That I literally have no ability to see.
You're fine, Katie. You're fine.
Yeah.
She's so great in it, though. Oh, my God.
But now we have a better movie that we can watch her in, so we don't have to worry about Maps to the Stars.
I would vote for Amy Adams winning just so she can get up and be like, I'd like to thank really nobody because none of them would make the movie I was trying to make. I thought this was a sad movie about a quiet woman from the South. I don't know.
Yeah, she's really poorly served by basically every choice in that movie, isn't she?
Wait, isn't everyone poorly served by the choice?
Yeah, but her specifically, because I feel like, I mean, you know, if Christoph Waltz is being poorly served, he's also doing it to himself. Whereas I feel Amy's not asking for what they do to her.
Yeah.
Okay, have you all seen this?
Big Eyes?
Yes. Okay, so there's a scene in it. I want to see if other people were as freaked out by it, where Kristen Ritter, who is fab, goes to visit Amy.
Yeah.
And like, there's some awkwardness or whatever, and they settle down for their cocktails or whatever. And then the next edit is her, like, storming out of the house and Christoph Waltz screaming at her.
Yeah.
Did that make no sense to anyone else? Like, one of a terrible screenplay decision or editing decision?
Wait.
I was completely thrown by that.
I feel like I imagined... Or I feel like there's something that happens between there.
Well, there is, because she discovers, or she almost discovers, the secret painting room.
Yeah, well, I mean, the scene had quieted down. It made no sense to me.
She discovers it, and then they go back, and then it's 10 hours later. Like, it's gotten dark when she leaves. It's like you...
Yeah, that I remember happening. Yeah.
It was so odd. It was one of those, like, inept moments in, like, a major movie where you're like, what? I don't understand what anybody's doing. Mm-hmm.
So on the same flight that I finally saw Begin Again, I also watched Edge of Tomorrow. And I feel so psyched for Emily Blunt in general. I can't imagine anyone having had a better year than she has between Into the Woods and that. So... I'm psyched for her to walk away with this.
She's great. She still has to get her signature part somehow.
Yeah.
Well, now she's going to pull ahead of Scarlett Johansson and Cameron Diaz as the Golden Globe's favorite young actress. So.
Yeah. Best Actor Drama, Steve Carell, Benedict Cumberbatch, Jake Gyllenhaal, David Oyelowo, Eddie Redmayne. Which is also the SAG list, right?
No, Keaton's on the SAG list.
Oh, right, SAG right.
Didn't have anybody from?
Right, because they have two categories here. Right, yep. Sorry. So, do we think any surprises are possible here, or is just going to Redmayne?
I think surprises are possible because I think the overall frontrunner being in the other category sometimes makes surprises possible. Do you know what I mean? But I'm not sure exactly who would be the beneficiary of that. So I do feel like defaulting to Redmayne is probably the safe bet.
I could see, if there's a surprise, I could see Jake Gyllenhaal getting this one.
Really?
Because
he's a star?
Because he's a huge star, and the Globes are not as resistant to, like, the younger sort of movie star men the way Oscars are. Remember they gave Brad Pitt, like, an acting award early? So I could see that happening. But I do think Eddie Redmayne is much more of a threat to win the Oscar than most people think. So I think he'll probably take this, too.
I would say this, though. I would not be shocked if Steve Carell won.
That'd be fascinating.
Because Foxcatcher is a Best Picture nominee here, and I think he's been nominated so often in the television category. I feel like there might be more love among this group for him than you might think. And it's still a very Beatty performance.
Is Oyelowo the David Strathairn of this category? Is he going to be nominated all the time, but he just can't win or something?
I think or the Chiwetel Ejiofor character of this category.
Mm-hmm.
Is he other people's vote? He would be my pick with Steve Carell as my second.
He would be my pick with Redmayne as my second, yeah.
I'd probably go with you, Nick, or put Steve Carell first. I go back and forth between those two as the resident member of Team Foxcatcher.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm all Gyllenhaal in this one.
Have they sent you a Team Foxcatcher sweatshirt or anything?
No, but they god damn it, they really should have. I have done so much work for them.
Yeah. Sometimes it's the pundits we expect the least of.
Are you saying you expected the least?
I'm just joking. I do feel like they don't pay close enough attention to who's rooting for whom, though, when they deal with people who write about the Oscars.
Well, ever since I wrote a thing about Selma, I feel like... Although, at the same time, I didn't get nearly as many interviews as I hoped for, so yes, give me more...
Yeah, I mean, I not even purposefully, I'm always rooting for Fox Searchlight, and they don't care about me, compared to some other studios.
Listen, I keep trying to get the mommy people to send me an Oasis CD, and they never, ever, ever do.
Just Katie, does your business card say, I got those women from Dallas Buyers Club and Oscar?
Yeah, they, right.
No, the new version, when we move offices, I definitely...
It should, yeah, because everybody quoted that. So where were we? Oh, Best Actress Drama.
Where we always are.
Jennifer Aniston, Felicity Jones, Julianne Moore, Rosamund Pike, and Reese Witherspoon, which is, you know, the most likely outcome for the Oscar lineup as well. I think, obviously, it's going to be Julianne Moore, unless the Globes really, really want a weird a moment where everybody, like, freaks out about in which they could give it to, you know.
Aniston?
Yeah.
I was going to say, at least one of these, well, two of these women have won Golden Globes before, but one of them is Jennifer Aniston.
Does that really feel possible to you, though? Like, that they would do something as stunty as just giving it to Jennifer Aniston?
No, not in this day and age. I feel like this is a Julianne Moore slam dunk at this point.
Although, I mean, you could write the, like, Julianne Moore as Susan Sarandon, Jennifer Aniston as Sharon Stone narrative here if you wanted, right?
Like, that's a good point. But I do, like, do we feel like that era of the Globes is still happening?
No, everything changes, but it I don't know. If anybody, like, I don't see in these other categories that, like, it's hard for me to believe that Jake Gyllenhaal's celebrity would excite them enough to give him that award, but Jennifer Aniston's celebrity, in a kind of more meager category, I would say, seems more possible.
I keep wondering, too, like, is the fact that Rosamund Pike is in the movie that more people have seen by, like, a factor of 100, like, Gone Girl is so much more popular of a movie in terms of, like, dollars spent than all of these other movies, and I keep waiting for that to be a factor, and it's just, she also feels like the Strathairn of this category, where, like, she's just gonna sit comfortably in, like, second or third the whole time.
Yeah, well, she had, like, a baby and has not, I don't think she's been anywhere, and, you know, good on her, go take care of your kid, but I do feel like that kind of makes it less possible for her to have that momentum.
I don't know, Bill Murray could have done it for her, Katie. He could have really taken on some of those things. She was really slacking.
If only she lived next door to an alcoholic.
Okay, best picture comedy, Birdman, The Grand Budapest Hotel, Into the Woods, Pride, and St. Vincent, which is like 60%, a great category.
Yeah, yeah. Did pretty well for a while there.
Particularly among the nominees that they didn't really have to go for. Like, you figured, like, Birdman and Into the Woods were pretty well locked in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, Pride is a great choice. It's, like, a great, unexpected, no nominations elsewhere. There was no real requirement for them to go for it, and they did, and it's...
a beautiful thing.
I guess it fits in with their... they do tend to throw that, like, random British serio comedy, you know, a nomination.
Every once in a while, yeah.
Somebody the other day said to me that they were reluctant to see it sight unseen because it reminded them of like a Maid in Dagenham type.
Oh, no,
at which point, so... I immediately thought Gade in Dagenham, and I gave myself an award. But it's much better than that movie. It's better than the type of movie you think you're maybe getting if that's the movie you think you're getting.
Yeah,
that would be my vote.
Shockingly good.
So that is my favorite movie about London activists who feel feelings.
London activists of any sort. Who knows what they...
who knows what are they active for?
Who knows what their cause is?
Yeah.
But they're really happy and proud of it.
Yes.
So do we think Birdman's going to win this or Into the Woods? Or Grand Birdman. Budapest? I think anything's possible here, really. Other than Pride
really? I feel
Vincent.
Like I feel like Birdman has it on lock.
Me too.
I feel like Into the Woods could really do it.
I do too.
Especially since it was such a huge hit.
But I'm just so happy Pride is nominated. It was my happiest precursor award ever this season.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I did an actual like Yelp at my computer like yeah. I was watching. It's nice.
Okay, and our final category, Best Picture Drama. Boyhood, Foxcatcher, Imitation Game, Selma, and The Theory of Everything.
I think Boyhood wins here, even if Selma wins later.
Yeah, I agree.
They've had a long time to fall in love with that movie.
That's true.
I do like that we've sort of settled on a fairly interesting three-movie race for Best Picture.
Yeah, I do too.
With each movie has its own, like, very different things to recommend it. Like, yeah. I like that.
I wish that the acting categories had more competition other than Best Actor.
And Harvey's not giving up for Imitation Game. I don't think it's going to happen, but he's certainly...
No, but I love the howls of desperation. Like, but he invented the computer!
It's really, like, those are the best Harvey years, when he's just, like, when he becomes this huge, like, gas giant of a... like,
Francis Delatour.
Who saw that Washington Post Selma thing and didn't think, oh, Harvey, okay.
Oh,
that's
actually,
what he's been doing.
I saw this moment, but, like, wow, of course. Yeah.
Although the Foxcatcher thing, they're now blaming on Warner Brothers.
Really? Warner Brothers with...
because they fired a consultant who they found out, you know, started the smear thing on Foxcatcher.
Really?
Yeah.
Like called up Mark Schultz in the middle of the night and been like, they're calling you a homo.
Anyway.
Yeah.
I was embarrassed that as much as we even had that conversation and I have thought about this issue, it never occurred to me to take it to the step that he took it to of like, they're implying I had sex with the guy who killed my... brother.
Mm-hmm.
That would be awfully galling. I'll just say that.
Okay. Thank you. Golden Globes, yay.
Yay!
Yay.
Oh, I meant to ask you guys, favorite Into the Woods number?
Oh, I was hoping you forgot. I don't have one. I can't remember.
You can't remember any number from it?
Well, I can't remember. It felt like it was all kind of at one level to me. Like, I don't know. Nothing stood out to me.
Not even Agony?
No.
Oh.
Katie, speaking of things that we should be recognizing who's funded, supported.
Yeah, like, where is my Chris... I don't know what I would get from Chris Pine.
A dream date. A dream date
with Chris Pine. A dream date with Chris Pine.
Win a date with Chris Pine.
I would take that contest.
But like a very like high school stylized dream date where he like shows up in a varsity jacket.
Yeah, and we like drive up, we like go to the malt shop.
Yeah, you get like a milkshake.
Yeah.
Yes, totally, exactly.
He turned down my request for an interview, and that was before I had seen the movie, so I didn't realize how badly I was going to want the interview.
I had the exact same problem. He turned down my request, and then I didn't get it. And well, actually, I think he was like off shooting a movie in like the ocean or something.
Nathaniel, he saw how many times you were posting about Billy Magnus, and you can't just get away with that. Like,
that's true. I'm all about the other prince. Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm.
I think my favorite number was either... Like, No One Is Alone is gorgeous, and that was the moment in the movie that got me the most emotionally. Moments in the Woods is a fantastic song, and Emily Blunt is probably my favorite performer in the movie, but I think it's probably still No One Is Alone is my favorite moment.
Yeah.
Is Moments in the Woods the song that's right after The Infidelity where she says
yes.
the phrase, the woods, 8,000 times?
Yes,
it is.
All right. It's not enough. I just don't know the names of these songs.
I was going to not say Agony because I feel like that's the most commonly repeated one. So I was also going to say Moments in the Woods because I think Emily Blunt is so great in it. But also Agony. It's so good.
Yeah. Everybody knows mine already because I wrote about it too much. But
remind us.
Oh, On the Steps of the Palace.
Oh, right.
Which is also great.
But I'm kind of like an Anna Kendrick freak at this point. Like, just love her all the time.
Chris Pine is also great in On the Steps of the Palace. Just, you know.
That's true. Standing there.
Standing there.
Erect. Looking still.
Good gracious.
This is my favorite ongoing storyline.
Okay, thanks for joining us for this Golden Globe discussion. We will, of course, be back next week too with the aftermath.
The aftermath. That sounds so bad.
Golden Globes, Genesis.
Thank you to Nick.
Thank you.
Katie.
Thanks.
Joe.
It's these woods.
I was trying to think of a line to say.
Anything can happen in the woods.
It's too tongue-twisty. I couldn't come up with anything off the top of my head.
All right, bye.
Bye.